following the tragic death of emerging comedian Eurydice Dixon. A similar rhetoric followed from authorities, calling for women to stay safe when out in the world. This time, though, a backlash followed from people frustrated at this deflection of blame to women for not looking after themselves. Joining us now to discuss more is Dr. Bianca Feilborn, lecturer in criminology from the University of New South Wales. Good morning.
Good morning.
And what's problematic with the enduring advice from authorities for women to be safe?
Yeah, look, I think it's problematic for a few reasons. I mean, firstly, we know that women already routinely engage in these kinds of protective strategies in their day-to-day lives. You know, most women have been taught from a very young age that they're responsible for the violence that men enact against us. So we're already very well aware of these types of safekeeping strategies and are already very regularly using them in our day-to-day lives. So I think at the very least, it makes this type of advice from police redundant. But I think it becomes even more problematic when we're talking about men's violence against women, because it really shifts the blame and the responsibility and the focus back onto women's actions rather than the men who are perpetrating this violence in the first place. And unfortunately, as much as we might like to think that, you know, not walking late at night or not drinking too much or, you know, all of these things that we're told to do, we might like to think that they help prevent men's violence against women, but unfortunately there's absolutely no evidence to support that they're effective in any kind of consistent way.
Now, as you sort of mentioned there, this is advice or something that women are pretty much made aware of and pretty much all, you know, sort of practice these safety techniques. At what point do women typically learn about these getting home safe strategies?
I think from, you know, from a very, very young age, it's a message that's sent out through the media, through high-profile cases such as this. It's certainly not the first time that we've seen, you know, this type of advice given out or this type of discussion happening. We saw the same type of conversation after the murder of Jill Maher, for example, and some suggestions that perhaps she was partially responsible because she was walking home late at night after she'd had a few drinks. But I think this type of advice really heightens what once women reach adolescence and early teenage years. That's when that responsibility really starts to shift onto women themselves.
Now, people are calling for responsibility to be put back onto these violent men, these offenders. But can these people be reached before they commit such heinous crimes?
Yeah, they absolutely can. There is evidence that violence against women is preventable. It is certainly not easy. We're looking at, you know, quite substantive longer-term social and cultural change. But there is also, you know, individual factors relating to individual perpetrators that we can address. So, for example, we know that the men who perpetrate these crimes tend to have very rigid ideas around gender roles, so what it means to be a man or a woman. They tend to, you know, think men should be men and women should be women. We also know that they tend to view women in quite hostile ways and that they tend to view sex and sexual relationships as a competition rather than a kind of, you know, mutually enjoyable experience. So these are all traits that we can aim to prevent through education, particularly through things like sexualities and respectful relationship education. And there's certainly things that we can look out for as, you know, potential early warning signs of perpetration and things that we can work to intervene in.
Now, these gendered ideas it seems being addressed more and more in our culture, but are there sort of short-term maybe warning signs or ways of addressing if people, you know, notice that there are men that act in this way?
Well, I mean, it would be great if bystanders could step in. So we know, for example, that a lot of people will pick up on potential signs, whether it's, you know, the odd sexist remark or problematic comment, but often won't say anything because they, you know, think it might be inappropriate or that they're, you know, going to be the only one who had a problem with what was said, and they don't do anything, whereas that's actually not the case, and often most people are uncomfortable with what's happened. So I think encouraging people, and particularly other men, to step in with their friends, colleagues, family members, and saying something and changing those social and cultural norms so that that person knows that their actions aren't condoned and they're not supported. I think that's a really tangible, immediate thing that many of us can do in our day-to-day lives.
I'm speaking with Dr. Bianca Feilborn about the failing stay safe rhetoric told to women. Will this incident be a wake-up call, do you hope, in regards to the rate of violent crimes committed against women in Australia?
Oh, look, it's a difficult question to answer. I'd like to say yes, but again, we've seen these types of incidents before, and certainly they generate a lot of short-term commentary and concern, and then things kind of go back to the way that they are. That said, there has been, you know, quite substantial outcry around this case, and it's also coming in the wake of things like the Me Too movement, where there has been a lot of sustained, you know, focus and conversation, in conjunction with the fact that we have started to see a lot of movement around the issue, you know, through policy, through government regulation over the past 5 to 10 years. So it gives me some hope that we might be working towards some positive change, but, you know, unfortunately, I think it's a case of wait and see.
Now, obviously, random acts of violence are particularly difficult to police, but is there something that the police or the government even could be better doing to prevent these from happening?
Yeah, again, I think it comes back to those longer-term social and cultural change strategies. So, again, you know, funding respectful relationships, education in every single school, ensuring that that's rolled out, ensuring that we have consistent social marketing campaigns that, you know, condemn violence against women, encouraging and teaching people the strategies and skills they need to do things like bystander intervention that I just mentioned. Again, I think those were all things that could be happening. I mean, there are very long-standing fundamental problems with the way that sexual violence and violence against women is treated within our court system, that basically means that most perpetrators are never held to account for their actions. It's very difficult for cases to progress to trial, and even fewer end up with a guilty plea or a conviction. So we might want to think about other ways, like alternative methods of justice, to assure that more men are being held to some type of account for their actions.
Now, given that statistically women are more in danger from men they know than these sort of random acts of violence in public, what can be better done to prevent this type of violence?
Yeah, so I think it comes back to those same factors that I've mentioned. I mean, I think that these forms of violence are all interconnected. They all stem from the same attitudes around gender norms and gender roles, and they stem from the same gender inequality. So we're really, even though the perpetrators are slightly different, we're looking at the same, essentially the same problem.
As you said, the court system has a problem with convicting these types of perpetrators. Does it further complicate it when there's a previous relationship with the two people involved?
Absolutely. It certainly makes it much easier for the perpetrator to mount a defence based on consent, so that, you know, that the woman was consenting, or the perpetrator had reasonable grounds for believing that the woman was consenting. It's certainly much easier to raise questions and doubt around that in a previous relationship context. So that definitely makes a difference. And we are starting to see alternative methods being explored in a very small scale kind of way. So things like mediation and restorative justice. But there's still, I think, very early days and a lot more we could be doing in that space.
Well, hopefully, as you said, this isn't just a moment that passes, and that this is something that does see wider change.
Absolutely.
Dr. Feilborn, thank you very much for speaking with me this morning.
No problems. Thank you.
It's Dr. Bianca Feilborn, lecturer in criminology from the University of New South Wales. They're speaking about the failing of the stay safe rhetoric.